Happy Thursday by Pop Culture Junkies. You know what it is. We're Pop Culture Mondays on Thursdays. And it's me, Brooke. Pop Culture Mondays on Thursdays. I didn't say my last name. Maybe I'm just going to start changing my name, guys. I'm just going to go from like Brooke Hammerling. It's such a mouthful, by the way. Such a mouthful. When I have to spell my name out, and I'm so dumb that I put it in my Gmail. So like my whole name, when people are like, what's your email? It's so long, like Hammerling, like a three syllable last name is hard. Hammerling. It's just, you know, and then I'm just brought back to high school. It's like Hammer time. Cause I was in high school during the MC Hammer parachute pants. It's not fun. I just wish I could just be Brooke. Like Cher, Madonna, Oprah, J-Lo, I don't know, maybe. But Brooke Hammerling, it's not one that just flows off of the tongue. I mean, not even for me. It's a lot. And then add to it that my actual name is Elizabeth Brooke Hammerling. And I've always gone by Brooke since I was born. But I think I've said this before. My parents thought it sounded like more regal or whatever. And it's a real, so then like I'll be sitting in a doctor's office for 5 minutes and someone will be like, Elizabeth, Liz, Lizzie, Liz Hammerling, Elizabeth Hammerling. I'm like, what? Who has my name? Oh, that's right. So anyway, I'm just going to play around with it. Sometimes I'm Brooke. Sometimes I'm Brooke Hammerling. Sometimes I won't even say my name. But hi, it's Thursday. It's Thursday for you or whenever you're listening to this pod, but I'm already exhausted. We're actually taping this Tuesday. It is 80 something degrees in LA, for which I've seen glimpses of it, but I have been sitting inside mostly working. Really excited for the 80 degree weekend we were meant to have. And I looked at the weather app today and now it's all of a sudden gone down to 58 degrees and raining all weekend. This is not what I signed up for. And then everyone's telling me how gorgeous it is in New York, just like the pristine day, and I'm having FOMO, and I miss those days. And you know, New Yorkers know, it's like the minute that the weather changes and you go from wearing your parka and your sweaters and your boots to sundress and sandals. Like, I love that. And you can smell the flowers coming out and the weird smelling trees that we have all over my neighborhood in Greenwich Village. But you know, those smelling trees, you know what they smell like. Are they like ginkgo trees? Whatever. Maybe they're also pear trees. There's a bunch of them that smell like a thing that men release when they have reached climax. Yes, you know, that smell. Come on. You guys know we have them. I think it's a pear tree. I don't think they're exclusive to New York, but man, do they line the streets around Fifth Avenue and 10th Street and 9th Street. And it's just a moment. It's just like right when they're blooming. But I remember when I first sort of was confronted with that tree, and I honestly, it was one of those things. I was walking to some sort of business meeting and I got a whiff of it, and I was living with someone at the time and I was horrified. I was like, why do I smell like that? What is on me? What do I smell like? Why is that? What was this? My jacket? Like, I couldn't. And then finally it went away and I like freaked out. And then I didn't smell it again. And then like, you know, walking back, I smelled it again. And I'm like, and that's when I computed tree blooming smells funny. And I hit the Google and then brought it up at like a bar with some friends. And they're like, oh, you don't know about this cum smelling trees. I was like, I missed that part of school where they taught us that in science class. So Mrs. Rothman, who is one of my science teachers, where we talked about botany and stuff, you did not teach us a very important thing that would have alleviated a lot of embarrassment for me. But those are the times when New York is coming alive, and LA is coming to life right now, but it's going to be freezing cold again. So I'm very, very bummed. But we're talking about nature. We're talking about Earth, because my God, we have all just experienced some epic Earth moments, if you will. Most recently, the full solar eclipse. And I have to say, I was one of these people. It's like, okay, I don't get that excited. I'm not in the path of it. I'm sure if I was in one of the places that it was going to be seen, I'd get really excited, but I wasn't. I wasn't in that. But then you just couldn't help but the excitement that was coming to us in every format yesterday. It was on Monday. It was coming out at us from whether you're on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or your text messages or your group chat or you were watching the news. Like, people were losing their minds. And I started to get a little FOMO. I was like, God damn it. Why? What happened to me? Why am I sitting at my desk inside, like on a Zoom, when everybody else I know is seemingly drunk in random places, whether they're in Mexico or New York or upstate New York or Austin, or, I mean, there was no rhyme or reason to where my friends were. Some people went like actively looking for the place to see it in totality. Others were sort of swayed into being interested in it and just like that day and found a group of people and glasses. And even my most cynical friends, even the people that like will literally do anything but socialize, were out taking photographs and watching the eclipse. It was just like, it was one of those things that just started to really gain momentum. And even the most cynical were like, okay, I'm into it. I'm super into it. And I will say the reactions were hilarious, both online and offline. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there is a bunch of these newscasters, but some of these newscasters, like the weather, I think it's like the weather people, whether it's local or whatnot, got really, I mean, really amped up about it. There's a theme here already with this podcast. We started with the funky smelling trees, and now I'm talking about like the orgasmic, like, you know, rapturous explanation of what the reporter was witnessing with the eclipse. And so, like, you got to listen to this newscaster.
Oh my gosh, we're almost there. There it is. It's totality. This is just amazing. I can't believe I'm able to bring this to you. I'm taking my glasses off for a moment because you can actually look up and see. We're seeing kind of a diamond effect, but we can see the halo. We can see the corona around the sun. The stars are starting to come out. This is just an amazing sight. I just watch for a moment while I gather myself because I'm just in awe of the sight that I'm seeing right now.
Okay, like, I need a drink and a cigarette after listening to that. I mean, it was just like, this is, the excitement was unbelievable. And there is a funny meme going around where somebody's like, why is to say it's a once in a lifetime eclipse and it happens like every 18 months or something. Cause I think it is true. Like, we are told this is like, we're not going to see this again in 40 years. There's like different varieties, right? There's like partial eclipse or like a lunar eclipse, not the solar eclipse or whatever. So there are different series, but I think the last one of this type of eclipse was in 1979, if I'm not mistaken. And I was 5 years old or 4 or 5 years old. And you just imagine like seeing, they're like, the next time this will happen is in 2024. And you're like, we're going to have flying cars and we'll be living on Mars at that point. And you come to find that like, we have Twitter. Sweet. Awesome. We do have cool things though. We have phones and we have cars that we can charge. And I don't have to get up at all. Like, I literally don't have to leave my bed if I don't want to. I can control my alarm from my phone. I can control my lights from my phone. I can control my television from my phone. I now can control my fireplace, apparently. I am just being informed, from my phone. I can order food from my phone. I can leave a message on the food delivery app to bring it to me in my house. And I can unlock my door from my phone. So this to me is actually way more exciting than flying cars. I can stay in bed and everything can happen. And like, this is where I'm delighted. But the eclipse was like one of those things I wish I had gotten out of my my Grey Gardens house and gone and participated and been with the people. I did not, but I feel the energy. I feel the energy. And another thing, speaking about New York, that really I have FOMO about is the freaking earthquake. Like, I am a born and raised New Yorker. Never in my life have I felt an earthquake in New York. When I felt my first earthquake in LA, when I moved here, it was in the middle of the night. It was very disorienting. I woke up like right before it happened. So clearly your body is like connected, and it just felt like a wave. And I was like, you're so unsteady. You're like, what is happening? Your brain and your mind, it's just nothing is connecting quite quickly enough for you to sort of be, at least for me, it was like a good 5 second delay before I was like, oh, earthquake. But in New York, even if you're familiar with earthquakes, I think it would be even longer for you to register. And there's so many hilarious videos and memes about that, where people are like, and even some of them not being, I think like Andrew Ross Sorkin from the New York Times and CNBC was like, I literally thought it was a subway. Like, it's like the cynical New Yorkers is like, it's a huge earthquake for that city, and people are like, why are people bouncing upstairs for me and like get mad at your neighbors? It's a classic New York, like shut the fuck up to your neighbors. And you're like, oh no, it's like an earth thing. We can't yell at anybody. We can't scream and, you know, stomp our feet over this. So I miss that New York moment, but oh my goodness, I have to say the reactions were truly chef's kiss. And I really do think my favorite, it was like back to old Twitter. And I will say earthquake Twitter was something I found to be fantastic and entertaining well before I moved to LA. You would see on Twitter when there was an earthquake in LA, if you happened to be awake, or if it was in the morning and it was middle of the night for LA, or sometimes they happen during the day, and you would just get sucked into earthquake Twitter and watch with sort of amusement, horror. Obviously, I'm not making light of it. These are not, if this was tragic earthquakes, I'm talking just, you know, run of the mill earthquakes, and everybody is funny or bringing it together. But then when I moved to LA, earthquake Twitter definitely became a comforting thing. That first earthquake that I experienced, it was like 4 something in the morning. I went immediately to Twitter, and everyone, you just feel this sense of comfort and community. Again, what I think social media was really intended or should have been about is bringing the world together and connected world, better world. We have gone so far off course that I can't recommend enough getting rid of all of social media. But in the moments that we come back to that original premise is earthquake Twitter, everybody's sort of, there is first, it's like, was that an earthquake? It was an earthquake. Did I just feel an earthquake? You start to, all of you are questioning it. Then you all start to recognize that you did feel it. You're in it together. Then you start to interact. Then people start to make funny jokes. And then you're joking back and forth. And then things take a bigger turn. And in this case, I would think in New York, everybody's first fear is like the fucking buildings are going to fall. The sky is falling. This is like, what do you do? And apparently I read that in order for a skyscraper to fall in an earthquake, I think it has to be like a 7.8 or something. But the Empire State Building understood it, its assignment, and it tweeted, Godspeed. It tweeted from the Empire State Building at Empire State BLDG, I am fine. In all caps. It's just genius. Like, so clever. Thank you, the social media manager of the Empire State Building. Fantastic. Some of my other favorite earthquake tweets, though. New York City got an earthquake before an Erewhon. I mean, come on. Come on. Let's see. There's Eric Adams is about to send 500,000 cops to the Earth's core. So, and that's an inside Eric Adams, New York City mayor, worst mayor I think New York City has ever had, at least in modern days. That is, it's just dark. And then, or I've always said New York City is the San Andreas of America. I don't know if you remember, but I've done it. I don't know if I've played it on the pod before, but I've definitely put it in the newsletter. Eric Adams has a tendency to say, like most recently, he said that New York is the Port-au-Prince of the US, and somebody, like, they had to put community notes and say no one's ever called New York the Port-au-Prince of the United States. But he says about everything, we're the Ireland, we're the Dublin of the US, we're the, and so, well, just don't listen to me, listen to him.
Everyone knows that New York City is the Athens of America, is the Istanbul of America, is the Keys of America, is the soul of America. We are the Tel Aviv of America. New York City is the Islamabad of America, the Zagreb of America. We are the Lima of America. New York City is Mexico City of America. This is the Dublin of America, New York City.
So now you can say New York City is the San Andreas of America. Too good. And then, you know, the fact that the earthquake originated in New Jersey and not New York, and you see like the New Jersey beef, like, hey, this is our earthquake. Stop trying to take it from us. The humor was really, really great. One of my favorite ones was Friday morning and I'm getting cooked and they screen grabbed a text, said, "We just had an earthquake, LOL." No way. Yeah, it was a 4.8 and lasted like 10 seconds. Pretty sweet. The response sounds like someone I know. And then the great ones are like a 4.8 in New York is an 8 anywhere else in America, which is a reference to, you know, the scale of hotness. I remember that a 5 in New York City would be an 8 almost everywhere else. I mean, it's just, you know, people are funny. I have to say people are funny. Alex Edelman, one of my favorites. Again, if you haven't seen his special, it's now on HBO. Max, whatever the fuck you call it. If I die from an earthquake in a Midtown Dwayne Reed, I'm going to be pretty pissed. And yeah, I don't want to die in a studio apartment. It's just, you know, my God, CNN, earthquake hits tri-state area. MSNBC, earthquake in NYC. Fox News, the earth can't even stay still anymore because of woke. And then my favorite, because everything comes back to me, to Carrie Bradshaw. As a 4.7 magnitude earthquake hit Manhattan, I couldn't help but wonder, was my relationship with Big structurally sound enough to withstand the impact? I mean, come on. So good. So I'm just so grateful. These are the moments that we all come together. This is when we can put politics aside, the fear of the end of democracy, the fear of aliens coming down and colliding with us, and just sort of have fun. However, there is that section of the world, of the country, who tried to tie the earthquake and the eclipse as sort of some, you know, sign of God, like a Mount Vesuvius, Pompeii, Sodom and Gomorrah. The rapture is coming. The rapture is coming. We've done this to ourselves. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, MTG in the house, you guys. She said, so good. She said, God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens, with the prayer hand emojis, otherwise also a high five emoji, depending on what you're looking at. The readers add context on Twitter. So good. The reader notes. There are approximately 1,700 earthquakes in the U.S. every year, about 4 a day. The next one, solar eclipses occur approximately every 18 months and are able to be predicted well in advance. List of future U.S. eclipses are where they can be viewed in the Wikipedia. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah, so we can't predict earthquakes, which clearly New York learned, because their alert system alerted everybody in New York that the earthquake happened 40 minutes after it happened. So we're not really good there. That was a failure on that end. But we are really good at predicting eclipses. Like, we know tens of years before, decades, centuries. Like, it's science. They figured it out. This is not some Nostradamus, like, the rapture is coming. It's what, like, in 1979, they knew that there was going to be the eclipse on April 8th. They knew that, 2024. Like, that's pretty remarkable, but it's science. Leave it to the scientists. It's not nothing to do with the rapture, though there is some funny imagery of somebody, like one of the people I follow, posted on Instagram a picture of they laid out the clothes, like their clothes, on the floor in their kitchen, the shirt, the pants, the belt, the socks, the shoes, and then they text their husband and they scream or something. And then they're going to say, "Can it make my husband think I left with the rapture?" And just like with the plates on the ground, it's hilarious. So applaud the people that found the humor in it. And somebody else tweeted this: an earthquake and an eclipse inside 72 hours is enough to turn anyone into a medieval peasant. You know, here, here, I'm here for it. But if there was ever a time for our friends over at REM to be back in the pop culture world, It was last week. We heard it's the end of the world. I mean, it starts with an earthquake is how the song starts. It starts with an earthquake. Thank you, Michael Stipe. Thank you, Mike Mills, little Millsy. Thank you, Peter Buck. Thank you, Bill Berry. Thank you for giving us this gift that keeps on giving that we use over and over and over again. It starts with an earthquake, and your little Georgia congresswoman took it seriously. It's the end of the world. I will say, as I was sort of trying to figure out what I was going to do with the world ending, I did dive into a lot of content, and I have to say there's some really good stuff on right now, and there's also some really bad stuff. But again, it's subjective. It's subjective. I personally am not a Ripley fan. I know I have to give it more. I know I do. I want to be a Ripley fan. I like the cast. I like the premise. I love a remake in a different, like, perspective kind of thing. But I am such a Dickie Greenleaf girl of Jude Law. Like, that's my genre. Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, that moment, that's my genre. I don't know. I think the youngs will get Ripley more than I can't. My Dickie Greenleaf is Jude Law. Full stop, can't get past it. But I really want to love it. I'm really, though, great because it's an Irish lead. Another show with an Irish lead, a Colin Farrell, who I love and love his family. They're just a great, wonderful Irish family, is called Sugar, and it's on Apple TV Plus. And let me tell you, I am hooked. It is so good. It's like film noir, but in this day and age, but like Los Angeles, he's a PI. Like, it's an amazing cast. I love it. And it's like Colin Farrell being at his best, I have to say. And then thanks to my neighbors, Matt and Bob, who turned me on to this thing that I did not think I was going to be like. I was like, Abraham Lincoln, cool. But it's super cool. It's called Manhunter, and it's also on Apple TV Plus. And it is going from the perspective of like when Abraham Lincoln is assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, who's like a hot young actor from a big famous acting family. Like, imagine, it's like, imagine if Charlie Sheen just like went up and assassinated the president when he was like drinking his vampire blood stuff. And then the manhunt looking for Charlie Sheen. So that's what it is, but it's really, really good. And interesting, anybody who's listening to this who went to Rollins with me, the lead actor is Tobias Menzies. Is that how I say it? Tobias Menzies. You've seen him in things. He usually plays a bad guy. I sat next to him at a restaurant, and he's got one of the most interesting faces. Like, I was probably like real creeper, but I just couldn't stop looking at him. He plays Edwin Stanton, who is the attorney general under Abraham Lincoln. But for all my little Jolly Raleigh collie crew, we all knew Edwin Stanton. We all went to college with him. Hi, Ed Stanton, who is like the great, great grandson, great, great, great grandson. But like, I knew he was of that ilk, but like, it's so weird to see it play out on the big screen, my big screen in my bedroom. But it's really cool. It's like so well done. And the person who plays Abraham Lincoln's wife, you know, like, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the show? It's the one and only Mary Todd Lincoln played by, I'm going to give you a hint. If you're Gen X, you're going to know. Do you know who that is, guys? That is Joe Lies and he cries. That is Lily Taylor. She is our goddess, and she's from Say Anything. If you remember, with John Cusack and Ione Skye, Joe Lies. And prior to that, she was in Mystic Pizza. I mean, she was everything, is everything. And now she's playing the widow of Abraham Lincoln, and she gives. I'm telling you, thank you, Matt and Bob, my neighbors, for turning me onto it. I am totally obsessed. So those are great shows. Shogun, I have to tell you, if you're not in it, get in it. I love it. I do. I understand people like Palm Royale. I'm not changing my thoughts on there, but hopefully that gives you some good fun stuff to look into. Another thing we talked about in the newsletter, if any of you guys are confused or baffled by this JoJo Siwa, if you're a parent with a tween, you may have seen it, or you may have seen it just pop up on your like socials and are like, what are these memes? JoJo Siwa is a child star that we've been writing about at the newsletter since 2019, since we started. She started on Dance Moms as a little darling girl with like white blonde hair and wore big bows, and she's a great dancer and yada, yada, yada. And she just had this big personality. I did not watch a show. I only know just from pop culture and how it came out. And she was five or something. So clearly her family knew that there was like something there. And she just sort of became identified as this brand of like bubblegum popcorn, you know, juicy fruit, big, big bows. Everything was sequins and bows. And she wore this giant high ponytail with giant bows. And as she got older, it was really awkward because she was like 14 and still wearing like pastel everything with her face on it and big bows. She was like, got a car before she even had a license. And it was like a pink Corvette, but like all plastered with like pictures of her. Really strange stuff. And so as the stories usually go with child stars like Miley Cyrus, they start to rebel against that bubblegum and sugar candy image. Miley is an artist. We have discussed this. She's a genius. She probably is a genius from the time she could walk and talk. But she, you know, went through a rough patch, perhaps. Maybe she was a little impetuous and whatnot. But man, that girl had the pipes, and that girl had like something that you just couldn't take your eyes off of her as she started to find herself. And we'll forgive Miley and that Robin Thicke sort of, oh, I really never liked Robin Thicke. I hated that song. And she was like putting her booty in everybody's feet, but she's evolved. So maybe this is the JoJo Siwa's sort of Robin Thicke JoJo moment, but it's a little too on the nose. So JoJo Siwa, she first started to change her image a few years ago when she announced she was gay, but she still had that bubblegum thing. She still had the high pony and the pastels, but now she's a lesbian, like a lipstick lesbian, totally here for it, loved it. And she started playing it out on social, on TikTok or whatnot. And we saw her be like really in love with her girlfriend, and then bad breakup, and then another girlfriend, and then there were cheating rumors, and then one girlfriend went back with the other girlfriend. It was just like a lot. And I have no idea that what she does other than be famous now, but you know, apparently she's a singer, and she has decided to like come out with like another rebrand. So then we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. She did a TikTok where she showed herself and she sort of looked like Billy Ray Cyrus, which I think is on purpose because she's obsessed with Miley, but she now has like a full sleeve of like very Gen Z tattoos, which are not like a full sleeve of tattoos, but more like, if you look at, I have several of these young girls that I love and that I respect and admire in my life that teach me a lot, but they have a lot of tattoos and it looks like their arm is like an Etch-a-Sketch. So it's like doodles. It doesn't look like fancy, like a sleeve of tattoos, like ornate dragons and stuff. It's just like they woke up one day and were like, oh, I want like the word doodle written on my arm and I want something like funny, or ha ha ha, that's a funny picture of a dog. I'm going to get that tattooed like an outline. It's just a whole bunch of doodles. That's the only way I can explain it, on your arm. And that's the trend. And that's what JoJo did. So we start to see that she's wearing like a cutoff shirt, like sleeveless shirt. She's got like her hair in a mullet. She's got the sort of metal framed eyeglasses on. She's got the hoarse voice. She's like holding a sippy cup that looks like a beer. I don't know. The whole thing was there. And then all of a sudden, next thing we know, at like some award shows, she shows up dressed like a modern day Gene Simmons from Kiss, like this whole glitter black and white outfit with some, like, it looks like some serpent coming up from her clavicle that like then goes up her neck and then has like a claw on her chin. Really uncomfortable. As somebody on TikTok said, like, it looked like she went to Claire's. She had like sequins on her face, and she's reinventing herself as like this pop rock girl. In these interviews, she unfortunately has no true knowledge of music history. Like, this is just an example of a girl who's clearly not been educated, isn't a true artist, musician. She's releasing a single called Karma. It's not very good. She's really, really thirsty in promoting it. And the single isn't good, but she then goes on to a tangent about how she is inventing a new genre called gay pop, which kind of existed for a long time. She also credits Elvis as being the first artist to break boundaries, barriers, and really take risks. I mean, it's like, girl just needs one semester of a music theory class. Like, we should all just create a GoFundMe and get her into like just one semester. Just let's learn the history of music. Let's go through there. And then you can go and start doing press interviews again. But the reactions to her promotion of this album or single or whatnot have been, it's just, you can't look away. Like, you really can't, but you can't, you're not, you don't want to listen to the song. You're not going to be a fan of this genre that she's created, but you also can't look away. It's really wild to me. So hopefully that explains why she's everywhere, because this rebrand is wild. And she's like, yeah, I'm just like Miley. Like, Miley's rebrand was like flawless. Well, it was, first of all, wasn't done calculated that way. And maybe if it was, you just didn't say it. You don't come out and say like, this is my rebrand. I am rebranding myself. Like, Miley didn't say that. She just went from like, you know, little TV child actor, famous person, to being a little edgier, taking control. She did that sort of very seductive photo shoot, if you guys remember, and she's in a sheet and got a lot of backlash because she was still under 21, maybe even 18. I don't know. So, you know, it was a much slower process over a longer period of time. Whereas JoJo decided, because these kids, they just don't have any understanding of like patience. She's like, no, I'm going to snap my fingers and I am rebranding myself. And here it is. This is my rebrand. And like, you're like, no, girl, you don't say it. Like, you can think it, but we don't say it. We don't say it. Another thing we don't say is, if you're on Twitter, the blue check Twitter came back. I was blue checked. I was verified. I loved being verified, and I had like 40,000 followers, and I loved being verified. It allowed you cool things and priority access to people, and you could DM people even if they weren't DMable. That's not coming back anytime soon. Because I'm sure I've been like one of the people who've been blacklisted, not because anybody there knows who I am, but just because of like the things I've tweeted, they've probably like axed me out. And my dear friend over there, Linda Yacarino. But they did decide that some prominent people, influential people, regardless of their followings, were getting the blue check. And some people were really upset about it because they wanted people to be aware that they did not pay for it. So there was this like blue wave, if you will, of all of these prominent, whether they were journalists or other prominent people out there, being like, let the record reflect that I got the blue check back for free, said Ryan Riley. Dan Savage says, wait, my blue check is back. I did not pay for that. Like, okay. So it's like, on one hand, a humble brag that they got their blue check back and that they're verified. And in the others is like, but please know that I didn't pay for it. And one of my favorite trolls on the internet, Katie Notopoulos, I'm so terrible when it comes to Greek pronunciations. Notopoulos, I think it is. Anyway, I love her. She's like, should I hide my blue check? And then parentheses, she wrote, yes. And she linked to a Business Insider story. Help, I got my Twitter blue check back and I don't know what to do. And it gives you guidance. So like, the internet is there to help you. Do not worry. But Linda Yacarino, the all powerful quote CEO unquote of the service she refers to as X, had a really profound tweet that went out around this time on April 6th. Lots going on this weekend. Join the conversation. Thank you, Linda. That is so profound. Really, really, like, can't get enough of it. I just can't. My God, there is so much more that has been happening, but I gotta wrap it. I will say something that I am picking up, the big trend, girls and boys, leopard print pants. That's the thing. They could be leggings. I think the big thing right now is wider legged pants, whether they're denim or soft pants, just like whether they're Zara or very, very expensive pants from, you know, thousands of dollars at a designer. I think the extension of mob wife, the mob wife aesthetic. It's now leopard, but now it's a leopard sort of like straight legged or wide legged pant. That's the trend. You're going to start seeing it everywhere now. You're going to want them. You're going to start seeing video content. Just say it out loud and Instagram will start feeding it to you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. My make out Mary mute. I am 100% making out with Dickie Greenleaf, OG Jude Law from The Talented Mr. Ripley. And if you have not seen this movie, I'm talking to you, Britt Morgan Sachs, who I also just learned has not seen. This is a woman, one of my dearest friends, wildly hasn't seen like 99% of the most important movies in the world ever. And I've gotten through a long list with her. She's not seen Gladiator. Gladiator, literally one of the most important films to ever have been made. So next time I see Britt, it will be Gladiator. But if you haven't seen The Talented Mr. Ripley, the OG with Matt Damon, Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, our Gen X sort of icons, then please go and go watch that immediately. But Dickie Greenleaf, I will make out with you all freaking day long. I love you. I would just make out with Jude Law all day long. Like, let's just call it. And anything he's ever been in. I love him. The Pope. My God. Have you seen that? My God. And then I would marry, you know, this is a tough one. I really do. I think I would marry Earthquake Twitter because that would just be constant fun. I wouldn't get the ick. Everybody makes me laugh. It would be a big, big marriage. And by the way, marriage, there was like huge group marriages over the eclipse. Like Arkansas had like a massive group marriage because they all see it as this like religious experience. I'm sure a ton of people were doing like ayahuasca journeys at the time of totality and had like a complete and utter, you know, biblical moment happen. But I was sitting in my office eating Twizzlers. FYI, super, super ahead of my time. And I would mute. Oh God, there's so much I would mute. JoJo Siwa. I'm sorry, girl, but I can't take it anymore. That's it. I adore you, and I will see you next week. Pop culture.